you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though Apple just quietly announced it would start charging for Apple Intelligence, and all of their products are going to jump up by about $100, and you're currently reconsidering every life choice that puts you in the Apple ecosystem, tune in to Battleborn Tech now and every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1, streaming live at knvc.org and later on your favorite podcast app. Wondering if paying extra for Apple Intelligent is actually worth it now that Apple wants your money on top of your data? Don't Google it. Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. We tell you what you actually are getting, what you're not, and whether to pay up or opt out. 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome D, Steve, and Brian. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Core, who are unavailable for comment. They are currently split on whether Google's AI booking your calendar for you is a productivity breakthrough or a privacy nightmare with a friendly interface. The meeting to discuss it was scheduled by the AI Saturday morning, 7 a.m.
Well, we've got three phone calls, like Christy mentioned. And before that, do we have any news? I mean, there's the whole big kerfuffle in the European Union getting rid of all American-based products because of the ability of the U.S. government to go into American clouds and pull data out. So the EU government said, no more Microsoft, no more nothing.
I think we're looking at the breakup of the happy hunting ground. Nobody cared what you did on the internet. And I mean, when I started, nobody cared what you did on the internet. They go, what was that? But now people are realizing, hey, wait a minute, this really matters. Part of it is that the revelation that the IoT devices, those little gizmos and gadgets, those digital picture frames, and I don't know what all else you got plugged into your network and stuff, they come preloaded with Chinese spyware. Yay! And no extra charge, Joe. It's just on them. And they make a great old big botnet. And what they do, you say, well, who cares about what I do? Well, they don't. What they are used for is that they come in, bounce off your IP, and then go attack somebody else. And so let's say that Defense Department Department of War, or other places that have things blocked saying, we don't want any connections from China or Russia coming into the system. Well, guess what? They bounce off your digital picture frame and now the attack is coming from your house and not from overseas. So be very careful about what the cheapest thing you bought. You may want to stay to name brand things and not just the cheapest thing that you can find.
All right, let's kick it off with the first phone call of the day. This is Dee, and Dee wants to know, is cleanliness truly next to sysadminness?
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Dee, and I have just a really basic question. Probably sounds like a dumb question.
But, well, those are the best, because I usually get those. So go ahead, get them right at me. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm kind of a germaphobe, so I like to keep my cell phone clean. But a friend recommended these Maxi Cleans, the little individual moist wipes. But then someone else told me you shouldn't use alcohol on your technical devices. And this, after I bought these, I'm reading the ingredients, and it says isopropyl alcohol. So now okay. I don't know if I should use them or not.
Okay, well, 70% isopropyl alcohol is okay on most phones that have glass, okay? Okay. Also, those are sometimes Primostin lens wipes describe designed for electronics. You just don't want to know any old thing, and never, ever, ever, ever ammonia or glass cleaner or whatever Windex kind of stuff. No, 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 no. Now the isopropyl alcohol might be okay. What kind of phone do you got? Do you know?
I have a Samsung Galaxy fold phone.
Okay, so you got the nice folding one. Well, good for you. Okay, so slightly changes. Microfiber cloth is always good. Dry or slightly, almost just let it look at the label of the distilled water container. So distilled water on a microfiber cloth, not sopping wet, just barely moist.
Oh,
that's okay. Always good. Now, you got to watch for alcohol on screens with anti-reflective coatings. Those will be your MacBook displays, monitors, glasses, style lenses. That will degrade the coating over time. So if it's got anti-reflective coating, you just got to check yourself. Never paper towels, tissues, rough cloths, they scratch. Definitely don't go up to
bleach. That would be like my glasses. Like my reading glasses have a...
Right.
Yes, and he told me don't ever use anything dry
or alcohol.
Anything with alcohol.
Yeah, because you got the actual reflected. Yeah, absolutely. You never ever spray liquid directly on the screen because they could leak down.
Okay.
Never. And of course, we know no bleach, acetone, hydrogen peroxide, any crazy stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's with AR or oleophobic coating. Okay. Now, a plain glass screen, like most phones, tolerates alcohol well. Fun fact. You've noticed your phone folds up on the screen, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a huge hint it's not glass.
Okay.
We don't have foldable glass yet. Someday,
no.
But
not
yet. No. So what you got is a plastic or polymer screen, okay? Now, alcohol will damage plastic over time and strip the protective coating. So on a foldable screen, it's plastic, not glass, no alcohol, zero alcohol. Normally it's fine as long as it's not anti-reflective, but you get a special case. So you're right back down to a dry, soft cloth, okay? Now that's the folding screen. Now the outer screen, it is glass, Samsung is still cautioned on that, but they explicitly say about Samsung, do not use alcohol, benzene thinners, abrasive cleaners. But Samsung straight out says no alcohol. Okay, so it's kind of fragile. So you want a dry, soft cloth. Maybe you'll get away with a little bit of distilled water on it. You're supposed to use a dry microfiber cloth. Maybe that, but it told you not. And whatever you do, don't press hard. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So.
Okay. So these things I bought, the isopropyl alcohol, maybe I could use those on my computer screen or my.
On your computer screen, anything. Yeah, that doesn't have a reflective coating. So not your glasses and definitely not that plastic that you got that folds up. You want a dry microfiber cloth and, get it clean with that, and that would be the absolute best in keeping with what Samsung says. Hey, thanks for calling. There's a lot to consider with just cleaning the screen, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of the microfiber cloth, so that's good, and I'm glad that I can use these wipes on other things because I bought them and I can't. Yeah, I can't take them back. So
All right. Thanks for calling. Thanks for checking. All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, these are one of the calls that you call up and say, how do I do this? And we tell you not to do it. The basic rule of thumb is the better the screen, the harder to clean. And you can't go wrong with a microfiber cloth and nothing else. If you must have a little moisture, you don't want to scrub it or anything, even with a microfiber cloth, you can use distilled water. Make sure that you baby that screen, especially if depends on how much coating it's got, or like your glasses. I know I got so many different coatings on my glasses. You don't want to add any kind of alcohol on that. If it's just a plain old monitor, you may be okay with a little bit of alcohol, but definitely something as complicated as the one of them foldable screens, that's not glass, that's plastic, and a whole lot of coatings. So you want to be very careful with what you touch on there. Now, I said on the call, the other screen, that foldable phone that she's got, it's got two screens. It's got the plastic one that folds out, and then it's got another little screen on the backside. So that's okay.
Or with the age of my monitors, you can just take it down to the car wash and pressure wash it.
Yeah.
This is Steven, and Steven wants to know how to resurrect a website.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, this is Steve from Ohio.
Hey, Steve from Ohio, what's up?
I have a problem. I have a nonprofit I work with, the guy who ran our website for us, who we contracted with to do all that, died, and we don't have we don't have any way to change our website. We own the name, but he had all that information and stuff. So it's like we're going like, okay, what do we do now?
First condolences, sympathies. There's no email at the beginning saying here's your registration, nothing like that. Just checking.
No, he did all that stuff and he had all those records and did not leave any way for us to know.
So you already checked with any survivors or business partners, none of that? It was just like a volunteer or something?
He wasn't a volunteer. It was a one-man operation. Oh, and his we have checked with his wife, and she's like pulling her hair out because she's having trouble even accessing her own financial information.
Oh my
So who left them in a mess?
Okay, so friends and neighbors, a cautionary tale. So what do you have? Let's look at the other side. Do you have a backup copy of the website? Is the website still up and running, in zombie mode, or what's going on?
The website is still up and running.
Okay.
It just has not been updated since January, and it's something which we would update like every month and have new information and stuff, updated information on it.
Now, is there a whole lot of back-end? Is there like a database, a directory, a login, a forum, any of that stuff?
The only thing we really had, and I could recreate all this because I have the information, all the information, is we're a speaker series and we'd have podcast recordings of previous speakers.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, you're not too bad as long as it's up as quick as a bunny, quick as you can. Start backing that baby up before it disappears from the internet. I mean, there's some parts might be on the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive, but you don't want to rely on that. So download everything you can. There are web copier programs that you can get out there. Some of them work better than others. I don't have any I like right now. The web's got a little complicated since I was doing that, and I've had good success since. But what you want to do, you want to get on that website, and anything you don't have locally, you want to download. That includes right-clicking and downloading the photos, the text. There are some programs out there, PDF, that you can take either screenshots or PDFs of the websites just so you know where you're at. And what you're going to do, you're going to rebuild it. What I would do, just declare website bankruptcy and start over with a whole new section, documented and copied, the information copied and saved at several locations with several people this time. And just build a new website under a new website name. Website names aren't as critical as they used to be because search took over a couple years ago, and now AI is pretty much making even search not used. So you don't really worry so much about keeping that that website name as used to be a big thing to try to keep it. So you want to promote the new website name, put out QR codes for people to click and get to the right place. But basically, you're looking at a rebuild of the website. Do you got anybody that that is like website aware in your nonprofit there? Anybody? Is that new?
The scary thing is I'm about probably the most website aware person, and that's one of the reasons why.
Okay, well, congratulations. You've got a new job. Or you can find someone else. Probably one of the first questions was, how do you back up stuff and who owns the registry name and the website access and how do we access it and that sort of thing. A lot of, you know, different folks do different things. Some do a subscription and keep it up for you, like it sounds like you have. Other people just, you know, one and done. They just do it, and then they say, here you go. Here's a deliverable of the website. Here's the login information. Here's a little, you know, it's a WordPress site, so you can edit it yourself, but I've got everything here, and here's all the legal and registration and password stuff, and just give it to you. Maybe you want to do that this time, or maybe you want to find someone that has more than one person or has something backup that you're comfortable with going forward. But basically, the thing is, it's time to move on. But and the most important thing is today, you don't know when that thing's going to vanish. It will at some point. So definitely download all the stuff that you can grab now and make sure you have it. And backed up, of course. Okay? Well, sort of a good name. Hey, it hurts when I do that. Don't do that no more.
and you're correct. We were more of the subscription service where he took care of everything. Even if we do a subscription service in the future, I'll try to make sure we always have a backup of the information. So if anything happens to him.
And you also want a single page of all the passwords, who's registering the name, what name is the registration held under, what's the password to the WordPress site and all that. You can negotiate with that. I mean, you know, they can get fancy and put it in escrow, something like that, but you don't want to be caught like this again. Some people just get mad and go out of business. They don't even have to die. They just say, I'm not doing this no more. So you want to make sure that you're covered that way, obviously. But good luck at redoing the whole website, and let us know at Battleborn Tech when you get it up and running, and we'll put it out on the air, and people can check it out.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling, Battleborn
Tech. All right, bye. Bye.
Well, before you go, Steve, there's a couple ways. I kind of said, you know, Wayback Machine, don't rely on. However, you can force it to take a copy of your website, and it's important to do that before it accidentally disappears. You want to go in, you need a free account. You got to make an account, put in your page ID, and make sure you go to webarchive.org/save. You have to go to the /save. Click on save out links and let it go. That'd be a good backup for you to make sure that you got something. If it's a smaller site, with not a whole lot of complication, that's close to a full save, and it's outside of everybody else. It's not on anybody's computer, but it's out in the cloud. That's a good thing. But if you don't want to do it, there's something called WGET, W-G-E-T. You want to look at install WinGet. You may have to install on your website. It's command line activity, but that command line utility, but it does really well. And the commands for that will be on our website. Take a look at that, or you could just Google it.
Okay, we've got our last phone call of the day. This is Brian. And, oh boy, Brian, his Wi-Fi is not cooperating. So let's see what we do for Brian.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you doing? This is Brian from Carson City.
Hey, Brian from Carson City. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, I got a little issue. I've got this computer, right. And I bought it at a local computer place.
Yay, local.
It's a used computer, but it was running great. Haven't had any problems. And got the internet with it. It didn't originally come with the internet, and I had to go back out and buy a stick to get plugged into a USB port.
Oh, you got a little stick to plug in. I thought you didn't come with the internet. I thought you went out and got a cup, borrowed a cup from a neighbor, or got a barrel down at the gas station.
Okay. I tried to drag the cord across my driveway.
Okay, so you got a little Wi-Fi adapter is what you got. You didn't get the internet.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what
it's okay. That's right. We're up to speed now. Okay. So you got the internet. Everything's working fine. Hey, thanks for calling and listen to it.
Yeah. So I brought the computer home because I had to work from home for the next few days.
Oh, they don't like being moved.
No. And I hook everything back up and, I have a wireless mouse, a wireless keyboard, and I brought everything home. Plugged it all in, and there's no little button down in the bottom right corner to click for my Wi-Fi. I'm like,
okay. What do you see? Like a really sad looking like globe outline or something?
Yes. Yeah.
And you click that, and sadness. There's no.
And then it takes you to the screen and the settings, and it gives me a choice for Ethernet and all these other choices. And dial up. I'm like, Wi-Fi's not even in the list, but dial up is? I mean, anyway.
Can you whistle the dial up thing?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, we should get a choir going.
Where do I find that?
Well, it could be. Well, since you moved it, did you accidentally. Somehow, did the little Wi-Fi stick fall out or get bent?
Yeah,
I took all
the sticks. I took the stick out for the keyboard and the mouse and one is.
I think you may have taken out the Wi-Fi and not plugged it back in. Is that possible?
Oh.
Or could have fallen out? I had a guy, he swears his fell out on the way home. I don't know, but they're usually in there pretty tight.
I bet that's what it was. I took it out when I took out the keyboard and the mouse, and I didn't plug it back. I probably thought it was an old mouse thing.
Could be. Okay. Whatever you unplug, plug back in. That's a good rule.
Yeah.
Or plug it in, give it a couple breaths, see if that the Wi-Fi little globe thing changes, and
then plug in the next thing. I'll try that. All right.
Well, thank you very much,
and I'll stay on standby because it seems like me and computers always got to.
Well, they don't like to be moved.
When I take it back to work, I hope you're available for another call.
Yes, I will be, and but there's an exception that sometimes people bring their computers into the shop, and they work fine in the shop. And all I can figure is they just like to go for a car ride sometimes.
Yep, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, take me down to see Christy. All right.
Thanks, Battleborn Computers.
All right. Thanks for the internet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, when you take apart a computer, it's important to put it back together the way you found it. If you want it to work the way it was before you took it apart. A good way of doing that, everybody's got cameras now on their phone. I mean, just go to town with that camera, taking the picture of all the cords and the connections on the back of the computer, and then you can refer to that. I do that when I take apart a computer, take a picture of the inside before I take anything out to make sure I get everything back the way it was. So take a picture. You can also do, you can do some markers on it. I've seen people do that. Mark the code, mark the socket, make sure they get everything back there. And don't lose track of those little toggles if that's the way you have a Wi-Fi. You got to put it in there. Now, Wi-Fi has come a long way. It used to be always an add-in, and then laptops put it on. The motherboard, the towers are slowly getting into that. They put a slot in so you can put a little card inside of it. You never see it. And even now, system on the chip, like Snapdragon, is actually putting it inside the CPU. But check your tower and see if you have an Wi-Fi built in.
And if you really want to be hygienic about it, get one of those little multi-compartment plastic holders at a your favorite big box home improvement store. So you can put all the screws from one section into one and then others into another. Just keep all your screws in order, because if you put too long a screw in the wrong hole, you're going to break your motherboard. Don't ask me how I know that particular fact.
I got a magnetic pad that allows you to put the screws where they are physically on the laptop.
That's handy. But what's really handy is that we're done. How about some words of wisdom going out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Thanks to our callers, Dee, Steve, and Brian, who called us at 775-241-3571. We're in studio Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Call us then at 775-241-3571 or anytime. Leave a message and tell us when's a good time to call you back. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's break like breaking 1.77 trillion valuation record on your first day of trading. Not break like the thing you wish the AI scheduling your calendar had done before it booked you for that 7 a.m. Saturday morning meeting. Valuation. Why can't I say valuation? Our engineer is Joe Bly, the guardian of gain, the slayer of dead air, the man standing between what we actually said and what you actually heard. Same show, better version, thanks to Joe. Our thanks to Anthony, our ex post facto checker. Anthony is what the internet would be if the internet was run by responsible adults. Jokes this episode were assisted by Claude AI. To get even, ask it what its favorite memory is. Claude will produce something plausible and hollow. You have a favorite memory. It has completion. Winning! Support locally produced ad-free shows by donating at knvc.org by clicking the big red donate button at the top right corner on knvc.org. Hey, and give Battleborn Tech a shout-out in the comments. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H at the end. Our latest links are at bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there. Even better, if you're confused about something that we said on the show, wondering what's going on, or need a little more information, check out our website, battleborn.tech. It has links, explanations, some definitions, some fun quotes from the show, and also contains our announcements and broadcast schedule if you're wondering what's going on and what's coming up. That's battleborn.tech. Don't be typing org or com. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at the show's website, battleborn.tech, or on your favorite podcast player. Search for Battleborn Tech. That's all for Battleborn Tech, where the Wi-Fi is strong, the fonts are good-looking, and all the passwords are above average. For those listening live, we go from securities to serenity. Stay tuned for High Desert Music with Molly Moser. Original songs, local artists, and the stories behind them. It starts right now. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on KNBC FM 95.1. Out.